to our correspondent today, and we welcome Middle East correspondent Sebastian Usher, who's BBC's Middle East analyst, editor and reporter. Hi, Seb.
Hi there.
An election in Lebanon. How significant is this?
Yes, more significant than might have been expected. I mean, elections in Lebanon generally follow a pattern where the political elite is able to nail down the seats that they always have and nothing very much changes. Not to overplay it, but this election, which happened a week ago today, did have some surprises. One of them was that the powerful Hezbollah movement and its allies, which had the majority in the previous parliament, no longer does. So that power that Hezbollah wields in Lebanon, it's still the biggest power that there is, essentially. It still has its own military there, but it's not in as strong a position as it was. The Christian party that it's allied with did badly. Another Christian party, which actually goes back to the times of the warlords, the Lebanese forces, led by a man who, Sameh Jaja, was the only one who actually got locked up for what happened during the Lebanese civil war. But he's made a resurgence and that party's done well. The other thing, and the thing which perhaps has given rise to the most hope, such as it is that independents have for the first time really done well. They got, depending on which reports you look at, they got around a dozen seats. That actually makes them second only to Hezbollah in terms of how many seats that they have in the parliament. These are new voices. These are voices that have been around for a while, but I think really crystallized with the terrible economic collapse that happened in the past 2 or 3 years, which was then exacerbated by that devastating explosion that happened in Beirut port, brought out the anger of the people, the frustration of the people. And some of the voices that have led those protests are now in parliament. Now, I don't think we're going to see any major change, but maybe political deadlock for some time. But that is more cause for hope than I think many of us were expecting.
Is there a clear outcome, if you like, or is there a lot of deal making and power sharing to go on?
I think it's going to be a lot of deal making. In some ways, the fact that Hezbollah has lost its majority may make it even more so. I mean, it may actually make, I mean, this is, I'm afraid, going back to more pessimistic way of looking at things. It may make the situation politically in Lebanon even more unstable when you no longer have, and the force, which is the dominant force, but it's not dominant politically to the extent that it was, it's being challenged. That could cause problems. And as the party I was talking about, the Lebanese forces, as I said, they were a potent power during the Lebanese civil war. They were a militia. So, you know, worst case scenario, that becomes a clash between those two sides. But I think what we're going to look at is political deadlock. And as I say, that's where the hope begins to fade a bit, because what Lebanon needs more than anything is to have action by government so that the funds from the IMF, for example, can be released and they can start on the road to some kind of economic recovery.
The killing of Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh and the fallout continues.
It does. It does. I mean, you know, as a figure, not perhaps outside the Arab world, but I mean, she was one of the voices of Palestine on Al Jazeera, which is where so many people in the Arab world have got their news and still do the Arab version. You know, so she was a household name, and there she was shot in the city of Jenin. The people around her, the other journalists, Palestinian journalists, all absolutely sure that it was the Israeli forces that had shot her. Al Jazeera has accused Israel of doing so. The Palestinians have. Israel has said that, you know, the jury's still open on this. The investigation hasn't been closed. There was gunfire by both sides. The Palestinians were firing as well. But the way that it's been taken has crystallized a sense that's been growing over the past few months again amongst Palestinians, that their cause is still very much a live cause, that people are still willing really to put their lives on the line over this. But again, it's a question of perspectives. You have that. You have this extraordinary symbol of what the Palestinians and their supporters see as the injustice of what Israel does. But from the Israeli side, prior to that, they had faced some of the worst attacks for years inside Israel. I think the figure is around 11 civilians were killed in a number of attacks, both by Palestinians coming from outside of Israel, but also by Arab Israelis. So posing a really strong threat to Israel and the government in a way that hasn't been seen for a while. So, you know, once again, those tensions, I mean, this is a terrible journalistic cliche, but those tensions are sky high again.
Awful scenes at her funeral, even. Again, the police.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, whatever the reason for what happened, and I think, I mean, my job is to be as objective as possible, obviously, as a BBC journalist. But when you see the Israeli police beating the people who are carrying the casket of Shireen Abu Akleh, you know, with batons, that is an appalling, the optics are absolutely appalling for Israel on that. It has led to the US, the Biden administration, you know, demanding a full, transparent investigation into what happened, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, you're never really going to have a major shift in the way that the US considers the balance between the Israelis and the Palestinians. I mean, the US will always, in the end, be on the side of Israel.
Now, there are huge dust storms happening in Iraq, Iran and the Gulf. How common are these? Are they seasonal?
They have been in the past. And, you know, remember, these are desert regions. So there are sandstorms which have a variety of names stretching from, you know, the Gulf right across to North Africa. And we've had them in Europe not so long ago. There was red dust that fell all across Europe. In Spain, you know, there were red warnings. The situation in Iraq, in Iran, in the Gulf has been extreme. It hasn't been like this before. In Iraq, it's become a weekly, almost a daily occurrence of these choking storms. I don't know if you've seen pictures or your listeners have seen pictures, but they are otherworldly. It's like an alien vision that you're seeing, this red sky that people are trying to work within. And tomorrow, once again, dust storms are expected in Iraq, and they're closing down. The prime minister actually issued an order earlier today saying that all businesses, people should work from home, shouldn't travel, schools will be closed. Once again, the flights will stop. So this is having a big impact on the economy, particularly of Iraq, but other countries too. I mean, I've just been reading some of the statistics. The UN, in one of its latest reports, said that, you know, the direct economic cost of this across the Middle East is about $13 billion a year. Now, this is likely to get much, much worse. An environmental official in Iraq said a bit earlier this year, when the dust storms, you know, were first really emerging in a way that was more disturbing than usual, saying that the predictions are that this could be 350 days a year by 2050. How that's going to be stopped and what kind of effect that's going to have, you know, it's another huge, you know, real concrete shadow hanging over the Middle East. And, you know, the as I say, it's a problem that's partly to do with the landscape anyway, but drought and the fact that much of the forestation, the woodlands, etc., have been swept aside, that all means that there's much greater quantity of dust waiting to be stirred up across that area. And people are suffering. People have died. Thousands, you know, across the region have had to be hospitalized. And, you know, in many of those countries, it's become an endemic problem. In Saudi Arabia, 10% of people have asthma. That's got to be something to do with these dust storms, sandstorms.
Thank you very much. Sebastian Usher is the BBC Middle East analyst, editor and reporter, our correspondent today.